I want you to turn with me over to 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 8 through 22. I want to speak to you today on a subject entitled Surrendering Through Prayer. Surrendering through prayer. In the dynamics of this message, I have prayed this week that it would just get into your soul, your spirit, your heart, into your mind, and begin to embrace you gently to a point that you would cry out to God and surrender. I'm not talking about giving your heart to the Lord today. I'm talking about some other things, and you'll see in a moment. That you would just surrender to God, as many have throughout the Word of God. Surrendered in such a way that it touched the very heart of God Himself. But what we find today in the body of Christ, in the church, there's no surrendering as it needs to be. So let me go ahead and read some of this scripture to you about Hannah's vow. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons?" Well, let me stop there just to kind of give you kind of an introduction there. Elkanah loved Hannah more than his other wife, who had bore him several children. Hannah's womb was barren. But he loved Hannah more, and he would always bring her greater gifts than his other wife. He would always treat her differently. So he's coming from this place that I love you no matter if you give me sons or not. Well, it was important for a woman to bear a child to keep the generation going. Very important. And so Elkanah was very concerned about why she's weeping and how come she's so grieved. So Hannah, going further now in verse 9. So Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now, Shiloh, the name of the word Shiloh means the place of peace. Now, Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept with anguish. Now, I want you to try to picture this in your spirit. They're in church, okay? They're in a place, in a city, which is called the place of peace. Now, when you're in a place or an area of peace, normally you're at peace. Normally you feel like I've come to a place where I can just sit and rest in the Lord. Hannah couldn't do that. She was so burdened, so deeply moved. But what she wanted to be able to do, and how she wanted to be able to give to her husband a child, but more than that, and you'll see. Then she made a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head." That meant simply this: I want to give you a boy. I want a boy. I want a male child, and he's going to be a priest because no razor is going to be on his head. That was a signification that it was going to be a child that was going to serve in the priesthood. And it happened as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, "How long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you." You know, sometimes people think prophets know everything. Yeah. Prophets can make mistakes. Eli made a great mistake there. He should have had the discernment and the knowledge that something was deeper going on there than some physical, plain level human action of in the place of peace where she has been before. He knew who Elkanah was. She was at the altar and she was crying out to God. She was weeping and she was in anguish. But Eli, first of all, has to go ahead and say, "Why are you drunk?" You know, it just goes to show you that not every prophet is on target every time. Amen. But Hannah answered and said, "No, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now." Then Eli answered and said, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition which you have asked of him." And she said, "Let your maidservant find favor in your sight." So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. You have to understand that she had a breakthrough. She had a breakthrough. And she called the Lord in her prayer, if you study the Hebrew, and I know not everybody studies Hebrew, but when you study the Hebrew, Eli made God, God, which was the common thing to say. But in her prayer, she was calling him Yahweh, which was in very intense approach and speech to God, making him, Yahweh, her Lord, more so than Eli saying God. I just want to bring this to your attention, if I may, and I'm going to preach sometime in this message, but I want you to understand that as you as an individual, you need to be able to approach God, Yahweh, your Lord. You need to approach him with that relationship that he has given to you through his son, Jesus Christ. He wants that relationship to be personal, and he wants that relationship to be full of faith in him, knowing that he can do anything for you. There is nothing that God cannot do. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. He is just waiting for you. He is waiting for the church to address him and to be weeping and to be in anguish and to cry out for what your desires are from him. Are you following me? Samuel's born and dedicated. Then they rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house of Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, "Because I have asked for him from the Lord." You know, Hannah's name is really great. It means favor and grace. So when she came before the Lord, the Yahweh, her Lord, she was coming in with favor and grace. Samuel is a name that literally entails many facets of God, but it really just ends up saying a man blessed of God. So through her anguish, and through her praying, and through her weeping, and through her desire, through criticism, and through thought that she could never be the wife she needed to be, she bore him. Now the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, "Not until the child is weaned. Then I will take him. Then he may appear before the Lord and remain there forever." Now let me just share something for you that's really unique. You see, in the book of Numbers in chapter 30, verses 10 through 15, it gives the husband, in this time it's Elkanah, the right to say to her, "You're my wife, you can't go." She has to obey him. In other words, this child that she surrendered to God in prayer, are you with me so far? That she surrendered to God in prayer. They came together, he knew her, a child was born. They called him Samuel. He had a right to say to her at this particular time, "No, you can't go." And she had to obey. But Elkanah loved her so much and cared so much for her and knew the desires of her heart, he released her. He had to release her before she could go surrender him to God. You see, that's powerful. You have to understand what just happened there. He was able to say, "Go," and release her. And it's really powerful, the beauty of all this together. You see, surrendered is a word is often regarded as negative and losing something through a war or battle. That's what it is normally. We think of surrender. I'm not surrendering, bless God. I'm not giving this up. I'm not losing the battle. We're not giving up this city. We're taking this city for God. We're not anything like that. However, in the kingdom of God, it is a significant word, for as we encounter God and give up those things that may block our relationship with him. Sometimes you just have to look at your heart and say, "What's going on here, God? What is in the way of our relationship?" I'm telling you, nothing's in the way of God. But what is in the way of our relationship that's blocking our relationship to be mighty and holy and great? There are also those moments of surrender that we realize are not much when we compare to what Jesus did for us on the earth through the cross of Calvary. Wow, what he gave up for you and I to be here today. To listen to the word, to worship. We sang wonderful songs this morning, all honoring Jesus. Did you notice that? All praising him and his power and his anointing. When you compare what we go through, it's incomparable compared to what Jesus went through for us to be able to say we are the family of God. Jesus is our friend. God is our Father. The Lord, Yahweh, he is our God. He's Almighty God. And he's our Father who art in heaven. And hallowed be his name. Holy be his name forever and ever. He's God. Yes, these moments are incomparable when we come to that place to surrender something to the Lord, which is a sacrifice whose foundation rendered as a gift to the Lord is quite a different view of yielding. In other words, you're giving God something that you really want. Did you hear me? You're giving God something that you really want. And I'm going to let you know that there's a problem in the church world today that people aren't giving God what he desires of you to give to him because you're holding on to it because God gave it to you. Now you understand where we're going? God gave this baby Elkanah had enough wisdom to say, I'm not getting in the way of what God just did. And she wants to surrender to God, and so I'm going to allow her to do this. Now understand this, there has to be this medium. God's law is God's law. But he says, I'm going to allow her to do this. And she goes, and she's going to give that baby. When it's fully weaned, she's going to take it up there and take it to the altars of God and leave that gift that God gave her, leave it there for God. If I didn't preach another word, you should be shouting right now to understand that God wants something in our life that is very important. He wants our heart. He wants everything about us. He wants every gift that he's given you. He wants you to surrender to him everything that you are. Every breath you take, every view of sight you take, every word spoken. He wants you to give to him everything that he can take it in his hands and make it whole. Studying the scripture shows that many times that surrender based on giving something to the Lord that would be blessed and received as such is unique in its application. Let me read this to you, something that I found was really unique. God uses the burden of Hannah's heart to bring a surprisingly larger solution to the burden in his own heart. His being God's own heart. Barrenness was not only Hannah's condition, but Israel's condition as well. You see, sometimes what happens in the natural is God sending what's going on in the spiritual, and God is sending a message in the natural that God may want to use what you have to do something spiritual in others' lives. Yeah. To bring hope. To bring joy, to bring compatibility, to bring love, to bring grace, to bring mercy, and to bring family unity, and to bring the Holy Spirit's power into the house of God again. It was a season of spiritual need and with little prophetic activity. That was going on. Oh, I can compare that today. In a season of spiritual need in the house of God and very little prophetic activity. You know why? Because there have been so many false prophets that start saying things that are not true and everybody gets excited. A word's given all the time. People giving words to him, giving words to him. Be careful. When God gives a word, it'll change you. You know how you know a prophet's a prophet? If it comes true. Simple stuff. I know I get excited and pretty intent about this because my heart is so burdened for the false prophetic words that go forth in churches and people coming up after church and saying things like, oh, I have a word for you. I ask for their credentials when they do that to me. One guy said to me one day, I want to be a prophet. I said, think about being a prophet. He says, I already did. I prayed about it. I want to be a prophet. I said, well, let me tell you, did you study the prophets in the Bible? They dress horribly. They have ropes around their waist to keep on the goat skin that they're wearing. They don't hardly wear any shoes half the time. They're walking around and they're just doing everything. I said, secondly, they have a horrible diet. Locusts they eat and honey, and that's all they're going around is eating all bugs and everything. That, you know, you want to be a prophet? Well, I haven't thought of it like that, Pastor. I haven't really thought of it like that. And let me tell you the last thing. They die young. So do you still want to be a prophet? I think I need to go pray about this. Let me tell you something right now. Prophetic word is normally attached to spiritual conception in heaven, which births something beautiful in the natural on earth. I'm saying something to you this morning. I'm saying that to you and to those watching this on the Facebook Live. I'm saying to you the importance of knowing what God did with Hannah. He really was birthing something that was a large burden in his heart. He was showing the birthing of this barren womb, bringing forth the power of a prophet as such Samuel was. He wanted to do this on earth with Israel one more time again, because Israel kept on keeping away from God. No spiritual content because of little prophetic activity. And God sought a voice to speak on his behalf to his people. Hannah could not know that her intense intercession for a child was moving in concert with God, bringing her son, but also bringing forth the will of a blessing of God for a whole nation. Are you with me? As she entrusts the longing of her heart to God, he moves on her behalf, but also advances her larger plan through her at the same time. That's so powerful when you think about this. It's so important that we understand that Hannah's prayer moved God. My statement to anybody who's a prayer warrior or anybody who's beginning in prayer, make sure your prayers move God. Where it gets a hold of the heart of God and God responds, because God knows you've got something you've attached to, and that's the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is attached to you, and God's Spirit is moving in you, and you're praying and you're getting a hold of God, and the words you're speaking are the words God wants to hear, and God begins to manufacture on earth in the natural what you have prayed for to happen in the spiritual. How to handle proper situations. How to handle those things that we have no control over. How powerful it is. In other words, to have that effectual, fervent prayer of a person that avails much. James 5 and 16, having that prayer time that touches God, that strengthens God, that implants in God's heart your desire and your voice and what you want more than anything else. The firm conviction, she worshiped God so firmly and such with conviction that God remembered her. You know, when I pray, I'm not being selfish here. I'm not saying I want the greatest things in the world, but what I do want is I want God to remember my prayers. I want God to remember who I am. Hours and hours of prayer, hours and hours of intercession. I want God to remember that I've been in the throne room of grace. Not for my benefit, but for something spiritual to happen there, that something natural will happen down here, because there are people that have prayed and sought the face of God. Amen. I want to see fruitfulness again in the womb of the church. I want to see what God can bring. And I want the womb not to be tarnished by the social disgrace associated with infirmities that goes on in this earth. I like what it says here, just in this one scripture, if you'll hear me on this. 1 Samuel 2, 1 and 2. After this baby comes and she brings him to the altar. And this is why the altars are so quiet in America, because they don't have a baby to bring, because they haven't surrendered the baby to God. They're holding on to the baby. I'm not driving my baby. I'm not taking my baby. I'm not doing this. I refuse to let go of what God has given me. You want blessings? Let go of what God has given you and watch what God does in your life. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God forevermore. My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn In other words, the word horn, my strength is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. No one is holy like the Lord, for there is none besides you, nor is there any rock like our God. Amen. Let me say this to you. In Genesis 28, Jacob has a dream of angels going up and down a ladder into heaven. He had laid his head on a rock that night and fell asleep. And he had a dream. Just like people go home and they have a dream. And Jacob surrenders to God, but he only does this. God gives him all these promises and all these things. He said, if you will do this, God, for me, then I will give you a tenth of what I get. A tenth. Jacob was a supplanter. He was always trying to manipulate everything. Don't be a Jacob. We don't need Jacobs in the church anymore. We don't need people trying to manipulate and trying to make it work for them. And no, we need people in the church that want God and the fullness of God and everything of God, because we have given everything to God. Genesis 22. You see, Abraham was given the gift of Isaac. God told him to come and surrender it. Every bit of it. He didn't say, I'll just take off a little bit. I'm not going to. He didn't hesitate. But he had enough faith to know this. When he told the people that traveled with him to take care of the animals, because we're going up to the mount, but the lad and I, we will return. That's before he knew when he got up there. He knew what God had told him to do. But he, before he even went up there, Isaac didn't know what was happening. But Abraham did. And Abraham got him up there, tied him to an altar, was ready to surrender that gift to God, everything that God had promised that would come through the loins of Jacob, and what he promised of the stars and the sky and the sands of the sea was going to end. He had the knife in hand. He was ready to offer that child back to God. And God said, stop. I see your willingness to give me the gift that I gave you. I see your willingness to surrender. I see your willingness to give up that which I have placed in your heart, a promise. I see through prayer, I see through your dedication to me that I have willingness to do that. And there was the ram in the thicket. And you know, it's the study proves that no rams ever go that high. God pulled a miracle there by putting the ram in the thicket so he could offer the right animal at that time for what God wanted. I want to say this to you. Four things, and we'll go through them rapidly, because I believe the message has been implanted already in your spirit and in your heart. Prayer of Hannah consists of four things. Her disposition. She had the right attitude, the right disposition. She wasn't selfish. She wasn't there to do anything. She just simply wanted a baby. She wanted to honor her husband. She wanted to do everything in the natural, but God is wanting this there for her to have the right attitude. The church needs to have the right disposition in what she does. Not a selfish disposition, Not a I'm bigger than you disposition. My church is bigger than you disposition. My pastor preaches better than your pastor disposition. We have more money in our coffers than your church does disposition. We have finer people in our church disposition. We have a better neighborhood than your neighborhood and where your church is located disposition. No, I'm talking about, our movement is better than your movement disposition. Let me tell you something. A disposition like Hannah had, she just wanted to bless her husband. And I'm going to tell you something. The last time I looked, we are the bride of Christ. Oh, shakandabayeshende. We are the bride of Christ. And we should have the disposition that we want to bless our husband. Amen.
Amen.
And nothing more. She had a desire that had to be answered. She didn't give up. She had an answer for Eli. Her husband saw this desire. He said, but don't I treat you better than if you had 10 sons? But he saw what her desire was. To birth something that could be a blessing. If the altars of God, and oh my God, I wish and hope and pray that the church again would have a desire to be blessed at the altars of God and give their gift at the altars of God, that it would bless others and be used by God to do something natural that God wants to do in the spiritual realm, to bring it naturally on this earth, because we're dry in this nation.
Yes. Yes.
Thirdly, a determination. She was determined to have this breakthrough. She was determined. She made a promise. Here's the turning point from the disposition and the desire. She was determined because here's the turning point. God, if you give me this child, I'm going to loan him. In other words, I'm going to give him to you to serve you at your altars his whole life. If we would just come back again in the church, saying to God, what you do for us, we will bring it to the altars and we will loan it back to you, that it would serve you in the altars of praise and worship and magnification of who you are, and knowing that you are a just God and you have brought us into the kingdom through Jesus Christ. Jesus hung on Calvary's cross, the greatest altar ever, and he stayed there till he said, it is finished. Why didn't he break down? Why didn't he come down? Why didn't he say, Father, send one angel, destroy everybody. I'm coming down off this altar. I've suffered enough. He knew that he had to deliver everything. He had to be determined to be through with everything. That you and I can say boldly, we are the children of God. But we have become selfish. We withhold when God wants us to bring out, to share, to give to God. We're afraid to let go and let him. We want him to hold on as we hold on with him. God wants everything you have. He wants what you're pregnant with even now as I speak. He wants you to be able to give that child. And last thing was the dedication. It was a simple dedication. She dedicated this baby to God. Every one of my children, from my oldest to my youngest, every one of my grandchildren, from the oldest to the youngest, have been dedicated to God. Given back to God. The gift from God given to us through a womb that is natural or a womb that is spiritual. You have something to be dedicated to God and leave at the altars of God spiritually so God can do something naturally here on this earth. God is waiting for her church, his body. He's waiting. Jesus is waiting for his bride to birth something, to give something that then he can come and give to this church again the power and the fire that she desires so much. But he's not releasing till we release first. Proverbs 19:21, there are many plans in a man's heart, nevertheless the Lord's counsel, that will stand. It's God's counsel that'll stand. What one gives to God in prayer, he takes seriously. He really does. He takes seriously. Prayer meetings are starting all over the United States, but there are some people still that frown at it, don't attend them. Technically, they don't attend them. What I mean by that is they don't go on their phone and join in concert prayer with people all over the world. They don't. They'd rather not pray. They'd rather not intercede. They'd rather not call out to God, travail before the Lord. Get on their knees and lead their family in their home by their knees in prayer. They'd rather do it on their own. When we give our desires to the Lord, he will receive them and expects us to walk in them as though they now are his to tend to. It's God's gift. He's not taking back my birthing. He's just tending to it better than I can. Better than others can. Let me close with this scripture. I pray that this has been birthed in your heart. I pray that this has been sown into the womb of your spiritual being. I pray today that you'll come even to this altar and just walk up and silently give God every hope, every dream, every desire, everything that you want of God, everything that he has given you, just give it to him. And it just tells God that you trust him. Psalm 37:5. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him. And he shall bring it to pass. Commit. That's a word that simply means commit all. Don't be a Jacob. If you give me it all, God, I'll give you 10% of what's going on. Be an Abraham. Be a Jesus. That is willing to be that. Don't be like the disciples who were fighting who would be the greatest. Jesus said, lest you become like this child, you'll not be able to be in the kingdom of God and to be a servant. You understand what I'm saying? We got to take up your cross and deny yourself and follow him. All these scriptures are there, but we in our humanity, we want to take up our cross, but we don't want to deny. We want the picture, but we don't want the action. Look at me. I've took up my cross. But I'm not denying myself. You see, the church needs the birth so Jesus can bring something spiritual, what we're going to do naturally and in our own birthing at our altars again, to where he will come spiritually and bless us, and we can find the relationship, and he can move through his body again in this church called the church of the body of Christ, called his bride. I guess the question would be, are you pregnant? Are you willing to, when it's birthed, are you willing to, when it's weaned, are you willing to bring it to the altar and say, here, God, here's what it is for me to do. Every gift that God's ever given me, I've given back to him, because he can handle it much better than I can. Hannah was blessed of the Lord her whole life. Samuel served God as a good prophet. He did. He did good. And God brought a breakthrough because Samuel was born.